last week, we got maybe the craziest cheating story yet from that same author involving a guy named Ted Virtue, the CEO of a New York investment firm. Virtue was at Trump's golf course in Florida with his son. Now, this was while Trump was already president. Here's how the story starts. Trump sees Ted on the ninth hole and decides to drive his cart over. He tells Ted, congrats on winning the club championship, but you didn't really win it because I was out of town. And if you're curious where Trump was when he says he was out of town, Trump was meeting with Kim Jong-un in Singapore. This guy was at a high-stakes nuclear summit with the leader of a rogue nation, all bummed out he was missing the club tournament. Can you imagine the amount of whining and moaning Kim Jong-un had to put up with? You better disarm because while I'm here, Ted Virtue is winning my tournament. Translate that. Translate that to him. And tell him Ted Virtue's a real jerk. Say it. Well, the story gets weirder from there. Because Trump challenged Virtue and his son to play for the club championship on the spot. They get to a hole with a big pond in front of the green. Both Ted and his son hit the ball on the green, but Trump hits his in the water. By the time they get to the hole, though, Trump is lining up the son's ball, only now it's his ball and the caddy has switched it. The son is like, that's my ball. But Trump's caddy goes, no, this is the president's ball. Your ball went in the water. Ted and his son look at each other confused, not sure if this is really happening. Oh, it's happening. Everything you're not sure of is happening. But this is what Trump does on stuff as big as trade or as small as a ball hit in the water. He makes you question your sense of reality. He's like a guy who only kind of knows how to Jedi mind trick you, but instead of actually convincing you, he just keeps saying it until you get irritated and give up. This is not the ball you're looking for. No, yeah, that is actually my ball. No, it's not. Yeah, no, it definitely is. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Fine, whatever, just take it. You just got Jedi'd. But there's a revealing part of this story, and it involves what happens when Trump actually tries to play in regulated matches with rules, where he can't cheat. And this will shock you. He's not nearly as good.
He's played on television 10 times, Pebble Beach Pro-Am 7 times, and the Lake Tahoe thing 3 times. He's never made the cut at Pebble Beach, and at Tahoe, he's never finished in the top half. So when there's rules guys and cameras, he's not that good. When it's just his course, his caddy, his world, he's pretty good.
On paper, Trump is a 6'3 self-made business genius worth $10 billion who went to Wharton, lives in a gold tower, and won a presidential election. But on camera, he's a guy who openly colludes with foreign adversaries, sweats like he's chugging hot sauce at the end of a marathon, and can't pronounce words that are longer than 2 syllables.
Every single car out there, even the really expensive ones, controlled by large donors, 10,000 known or suspected gang members.
Suspested? As in, everyone suspected that Trump cheats at golf, but now we're positive. Here's the thing, you guys. Trump might be the most prolific cheater in the Republican Party, but he's not alone.
What would it take for President Trump to lose your support? I'm going to give you guys some hypothetical scenarios, and you tell me if any of them would be enough for the president to lose your support. All right, scenario one. Robert Mueller testifies before Congress and says he believes Trump committed obstruction of justice. Do you still support him?
Well, we need a leader that's willing to do what he's got to do to win.
That's absolutely right. See, the best way to uphold the law is to be above it, Chuck.
What if he says Trump colluded with the Russians?
Well, I'd have to write a strongly worded email and send it straight to my draft folder.
All right, next hypothetical. What if the president admits that he's not as religious as he claims?
Well, if you don't already know that, that's kind of on you, Chuck.
He's not even Christian. He's Jewish.
Even better. That's great for Israel. Yeah.
You know, I can think of another great man who was Jewish. Jesus
Sammy
Christ.
Sammy Davis Jr.
What if you found out President Trump was a Muslim?
A Muslim? Oh, just the thought of that makes me want to stress eat.
Okay, now listen, you wait just a minute, Chuck. Now, what kind of Muslim are we talking about? Are we talking about, like, Dr. Oz?
No, I mean, like, Louis Farrakhan.
All right, but do we still get those tax cuts?
You do.
Okay. Well, then I guess it's Salaam Alaikum, Brother President.
Okay, next scenario. What if Donald Trump divorced his wife, Melania?
Love can be a tricky thing.
And and he leaves her for Stormy Daniels.
All right, well, that would actually make more sense, because that's a hot girl.
Hey, how about Kathy Griffin?
A kooky redhead, I get it.
What if he leaves her for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Oh, no, no, that's not right. That's not good.
And he also pledges to love, honor, and enact her Green New Deal.
Now that just crosses the line. There's some things you can't forget.
So he would lose your support?
He would not.
Well, I would show up to the wedding, but not before I mumbled a strong rebuke quietly into my lean cuisine.
Okay, what if the president gave out your personal cell phone number to thousands of strangers who then harassed you and sent death threats, causing you to get rid of your phone?
Well, now, Chuck, I do have to disqualify myself, because back in 2015, the president actually did that to me.
Yeah, I know. I was just seeing if you remember. Okay, let's say Trump open hand slaps you in the face. What would you say then?
Harder, Daddy.
Senator Collins, you support Roe v. Wade.
Yes, I sure do, yeah.
What if the president declared that life begins not at conception, but at erection?
Oh, please, I have been a vocal champion of women's rights for over 30 years. That'd be the most outrageous, ridiculous thing that I'd ever end up definitely voting for.
So there's absolutely nothing President Trump could do to lose your support?
No, I wouldn't say that. Let's say, hypothetically, he got gay married.
Yeah, to the leader of ISIS.
And they had matching diapers fashioned out of the original Constitution.
Well, then maybe. Oh, heck, who are we kidding? We'll always be ride or die bitches.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
And now it's time for Fast Talk with Bud Good.
Well, good evening, I'm Bud Good, and this is Fast Talk, the only Fast Talk college program on this station at this time. This is Fast Talk, the whole idea of Fast Talk is talk as fast as you can. Fast Talk, I'm proud to say, is the owner of about 17 records at this time. We have the record for the most talk per call, the most calls per hour, the most words per minute, the most thoughts per sentence, and we also have the record for the most records of any program on the air. This is Fast Talk, I'm Bud Good, let's hear your call, let's take our first call. There it is, Fast Talk, go ahead.
Give me my socks.
Hello, who's there? Not enough fast talk.
Okay, come on, fast talk.
Talk a little faster.
Okay, a little faster, come on.
Life is pointless to the point of borderline and suicide, and even culture club becomes a viable possibility. Oh, if only I had a brain, the world would spin in four dimensions of day-glow colors. If not, when I speak, I evaporate
faster,
new colors.
Faster.
Wears my spirit into the point of breaking. For if life is love and love is God, God is life. If water is life, water is God.
That's bullshit. Shut up. Okay. Faster.
Nuclear waste is highly toxic, so life is nuclear waste. But
it's too late now. It's too late now. Talk faster. We only got 5 minutes.
Thank you. We like the ones with no end. But we have to move on. This is fast talk. Fast talk. All the way. Talk fast.
It's Jill at the Diamond Center.
Myself in so much horrible ways that apparently he possibly hoped to make itself incredibly nice again because it's totally messed up, and not only that, it's extremely impossible to make anybody want to make anything of it matter.
Very good, next call, fast talk, you're on the air, go ahead.
Okay, spit it out.
Hey, I'm the Happy Gnome, who are you? Can I sing the Happy Gnome song?
Go ahead, as long as you sing as fast as you can.
I'm a happy gnome and you can't catch me.
Faster.
Are you nice?
Take the dice, hurry up.
I can all farm to find out. Think of dirty things. When I should roll for a few nuttles and come to drop the ding. Yay!
Sorry, that's not fast enough for a song. This is Fast Talk. I'm Bud Good. This is Universal Media Network, and this is Fast Talk. Go ahead.
Great, you know, there's nothing. There's no first cousin show, no pauses, no nothing stupid at all. This is such a great show. It's just like those top 40 hit stations where they play nothing but music, and then I talk over it and make ads for a private theater. And I don't know what I'm going to do now, but what do I say? Okay, oh God.
That's good.
No one knows what they're saying, and no one cares about anything anyway.
Let me ask you a question. Hey, buddy. Stop. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question. What are you listening to right now?
What are you talking about? What do you mean, what am I listening to?
What are you listening to right now?
What
are you listening to right now?
Go ahead.
Tell me fast. We don't have much more time.
Sit down. Go over there.
I'm sorry. You're listening to Fast Talk. That's what.
Anybody make talk so on the video that's making it so interesting without making anybody kind of intelligible?
Let me explain one thing here. It is permissible to stop on Fast Talk. You don't have to keep talking. It's just whatever you say, you have to say as fast as you can. See, that's okay. We have dead air. That's okay.
No problem.
What program are you on?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Some people see your work as a load of rubbish about the outdoor time travel. I see it as a deliberate ambiguity. Please for understanding in McKnight Deepos. The point is frozen, the beast is dead. What is the difference? What indeed is the point? The point is frozen, the beast is low-level ending, and the point is taken. If the left hand takes over, the spirit time jumps. The engine must be ahead, the dining car out of esophagus. The gods sent our left lung, the kettle turned our shins, the blue first class compartment, please skin at the name of the back level crossing, and let you go. Cold Simon, the clarity is devastating, but where is the ambiguity? Over there, in the box.
Fast talk, go ahead.
Hello.
Line 306. Go ahead. Come on, fast
talk. All I want to know is, does Elizabeth Clare Prophet teach classes on how to do this, or do I just have to work it out on my own?
No, there's no way to learn how to do it except to do it. Come on, fast talk.
Conscious stream of consciousness, and you can just make any kind of noise at all, and just have some kind of humorous content, maybe a little bit of a condescending humor, and all kinds of stuff like that.
Fast talk, go ahead. Can you beat that? You can beat that. That's the fastest talk I've ever heard. They are talking fast. They are talking fast. That's a lot. Fast talk. That looks like it, buddy, folks. We're out of calls again, and I don't think we can rouse anymore at this time. We have talked fast all the fast talk out of every fast talker out there. This is Fast Talk, but good saying so long, good night, and fast talking to you.
Tune in to Radio for Open Ears Monday, May 20th. The Vital Weekly Show brings you the best new experimental music from around the world at 2 p.m. on the radio at WGXC. Tune in this week for new music from Frederick Rosten, Automating, Will Guthrie, Spolstra, Nicholas Adam, Quattro Bozzini, Ross Manning, NF Jocks, Ryoko Akama, Takamitsu Aoda, and the Glenn Whitehead Trio on the Vital Weekly Show at 2 p.m. Monday, May 20th, on the radio at WGXC. Next, we hear a report from our partner station WOOCLP in Troy about the pollinator-friendly resolution that Albany County passed on May 13th.
We're talking with Grace Nichols, who earlier this week at the Albany County Legislature had presented on a pollinator-friendly county resolution, among other groups she's been working with, Save the Pine Bush. But Grace, can you explain to me what exactly would this pollinator-friendly resolution do?
Well, I wrote it when the research was clear that we understand the drivers of shocking insect declines. And the drivers are habitat loss, intensified agriculture that exterminates the nectar and host plants that pollinators need, and the widespread use of pesticides, in particular, actually, the neonicotinoids, which followed glyphosate Roundup as being leading causes. So what this resolution does, what I wrote it to do, was to address the causes of the vast insect declines that are threatening the food chain in general. And so it first says, whereas recent research shows there's an over 40% decline as a conservative figure of what's happening all over North America, and as we're seeing a 33% decline in insectivorous birds, that we believe is related to the insect decline. We're just a county, we're Albany County, but we've been leaders in insect conservation before. We worked to preserve the Carner Blue and the Barron's Buck Moth. So we're as a county gonna stand up and say it's important to do insect conservation on the local level. So they have to do a couple of things. They have to plant host and nectar plants for butterflies, bees, moths, and wasps, and other flying insects on the sides of the road. They have to put some of those in the parks, and particularly along the rail trail, which is a great place for to make sure there's a lot of pollinator encouragement. But it also says that they must encourage municipalities within the county to have conservation easement provisions. Now, Bethlehem has a wonderful one. The idea is that a landowner can save on taxes by leaving open space, which is a very important factor in stopping species extinction is to have more open space.
So and does so, this resolution, does it require any reduction or prohibition in the use of the pesticides that have particularly been negatively impacting upon the insects?
Well, we do address it in a couple of ways. What we do is it's a buy-in. It's saying that we as a county want to preserve our insects, and because of that, we're going to review what pesticides we do use and phase out the most harmful pesticides. And that's how it's written, which is very broad. I mean, as a county, you can't really regulate pesticides in the sense of banning them. You know, we don't have that kind of power. But what we can do is say, was that a good example? And so far as I know, the county is actually very conservative in their pesticide use. And when we bring this to other counties, it may be more of an issue. But they're setting a good example. They're saying, we're going to look at it. We're going to reduce as much as we can. And I'm really proud of them that they were quite willing to do that. Now, they also are going to put out brochures to educate the public on where they can get untreated seeds and seeds that are not treated and plants that are not treated with neonics. Now, these are getting harder and harder to find. And so I think it's going to be difficult, actually, to put out the brochure. I know that Hudson Valley Seed Company is one of the wonderful ones that does not use any of that. But then also they're going to put out brochures that tell people what are the best plants for their pollinator gardens, and also where to get organic produce if you want to make sure your dollars are going to sustainable agriculture, which will be good for pollinators. So it's pretty comprehensive. It has all those provisions in it. And what was wonderful was it was very popular, not just with the environmental groups, the farmers, the beekeepers, the gardeners, but it was popular with the county legislature.
So Albany County Legislature actually passed this resolution that's gone into effect?
Monday night they did it, and I had started introducing it in August. I started working with legislator Douglas Bullock, who is just famous for his role in empowering citizens to be able to bring ideas to the legislature. And then we actually introduced it, I believe, in November, and got it through committee last month. So we're there.
Well, congratulations. Now, do you intend to take this resolution to some of the other counties in the Capital District or statewide, or the similar efforts across the country?
Well, I sure do, and there are some similar efforts. In fact, I just found that the state itself had passed a law asking solar farms to plant pollinator host and nectar plants, a law around the solar farms, which I think is just wonderful. I didn't know about that. It's awesome. I think other people are thinking along these lines. I've talked to a couple of different counties and organizers in different counties about introducing a similar proposal, and we're going to be working on that for sure. And in fact, we're hoping to come to Rensselaer and Saratoga, but we'll keep you updated on that. The other thing is we are hoping that other municipalities, I mean, we would love if the federal government were actually addressing the fantastic declines in species, the mass extinction crisis, but we're not seeing that. So last week, incredibly, right before the vote, last week the UN published a report showing that 1 million species out of an estimated 8 million species on planet Earth are actually in danger of extinction. And that was very shocking for people. And, you know, it was, on the one hand, horrible to hear that news. And on the other hand, because I started working on biodiversity in 1988, to have the New York Times put on the front page, this is really happening, when I knew in 1988 that 1,000 species a year were going extinct, it was accelerating. So it's the good part of this is people are aware that something has to change. We have to address these causes of extinction. UN was extremely clear that pesticides, habitat loss, bad agriculture have all been major causes, and these are preventable causes.
Right. And so obviously when we lose pollinators, you know, they're critical to the food supply. If people want to get more information about this issue, what are some of the ways they can do that?
Well, everyone's welcome to write me. I'm working with the city, with the county, and other entities about their pollinator problems. And my email is mtnsbluegreen@gmail.com. You can also contact Save the Pine Bush at our Facebook page. And that's a great way to get to me and to our whole group that has worked on invertebrate conservation since, early 80s. And really, think about in your own yard if you can plant some host plants for the butterfly caterpillars and nectar plants for all the insects, because what's critical right now with these kinds of declines is that we create as much habitat wherever we are as fast as possible.
And so this has been Mark Dunley for WOOC, and we've been talking with Grace Nichols of Save the Pine Bush.
La babel incesante salta y salta. Y tú resbalas y estás participando. Del gran misterio, bufo de las razas. Tú, que a nuestra imagen y semejanza, nuestra, eres tantas en una. Tú, la ciudad armada, míranos a los ojos, porque queremos entenderte.
El gato es grande y llamativo, llama mucho la atención.
Very friendly, very big male cat.
It's a huge,
enorme,
fat cat.
Oh, schön, witzig,
grande,
dick.
Hermoso, vaya, que está rechoncho, ¿no?
Eine mutierte Katze.
Los ojos grandes, nariz grande, oreja grande, pie grande, y todo tiene grande.
Es como de acero, algún metal barato.
Pobre.
Bronce.
Parece bronce, parece bronce.
Le chat est déjà les gros.
Maybe not a fat cat, but a very round and big cat.
Det er en stor, tyk,
большой, толстый,
venlig hencat.
Забавный, смешной.
Sus formas redondas, totalmente redondas y
cebadas, gorditas. Sí, bien alimentado el gato y está bien robusto.
Tiene dos orejas, no sé, en forma triangular. Tiene una bola aquí, redonda. Y que se llama Botero.
Yo tengo un gato casi huascar. Yo tengo un gato gasa que es muy majo y cuando miro al gato digo, mira, te parece a Tigre, a mi gato.
Previous lives. Was probably a friend of Mowgli. Looks calm, but gets really angry.
On dit qu'il est en train de penser.
It's a curious cat.
Il est préoccupé.
I'm not sure what mood the cat's in,
it's
really.
It's kind of a cat that you wouldn't touch,
sure.
Or you wouldn't play with.
Ouais, il est imprévisible, oui.
Because
en fait,
you feel like that this could get angry.
Aujourd'hui, il est ici. Demain, je sais pas où il sera.
Il fait rire.
He
looks
friendly.
Contento.
He looks very friendly.
Cierta alegría.
Por la media sonrisa que tiene.
Bored. Hot.
Just move around quietly without anyone seeing it, but it sees everything. But oh, not everyone sees the cat.
Il n'a pas l'air agressif.
Bah, surpris peut-être par
surpris,
ce va-et-vient de, ouais, de personnes.
It's looking around and it wants to know what it can find in this neighborhood, I think.
La Barcelona.
La Barcelona.
Por la mañana ya viene.
For sure it's a Raval cat.
Para mí es un punto de encuentro.
I think it's living.
Para la noche todos los gatos son pardos.
But not sleeping.
Se dice en español.
Living in the night time.
Tiene un alma. La verdad que se nota que tiene un alma. Bueno, escuchamos a la ciudad, escuchamos los loros,
palomas,
tráfico,
cars, people talking,
comida,
people walking,
vida,
muchas cosas. Siempre hay gente robando, peleando,
chillando,
insultando.
A
tourist taking pictures.
Todavía tengo un collar.
Je porte toujours un collier.
Me fui de casa porque en la calle me siento mejor.
Pourtant, je suis parti de chez moi car je suis mieux dans la rue.
Fui entonces un gato doméstico.
J'étais un cachet domestique.
En una hermosa casa.
Dans une belle maison.
Todos cuidaban de mí.
Faisaient attention à moi.
Pero a través de la ventana solo podía apreciar una pequeña parte de la realidad.
Mais je voyais seulement par la fenêtre une fraction de la réalité.
A pesar de que lo que me gusta más,
alors que ce que j'aime,
es observar,
c'est voir les gens,
cómo vive la gente,
observer la manière dont ils vivent.
Me pisó un coche.
J'ai été percuté.
Comí veneno de rata,
par une voiture,
pero lo vomité.
J'ai même failli être empoisonné.
Y sobreviví.
Mais j'ai survécu à ce coup-là. Donc dans ma deuxième vie,
así que en mi segunda vida,
j'ai commencé à sortir plus.
Empecé a salir más.
D'abord à me balader dans les patios y puis,
primero vagando alrededor de los patios,
de plus en plus loin,
y luego cada vez más y más lejos,
jusqu'à passer tout mon temps dans la rue,
hasta pasar todo el tiempo en la calle.
Dans cette vie-ci,
ahora en esta vida,
je compte juste profiter des plaisirs de la vie.
Quiero simplemente disfrutar de los placeres mundanos.
He has a deep voice. A deep voice, yeah. Maybe old.
Meow.
Wow.
Meow.
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 Los gatos son señores.
Les chats sont des seigneurs.
Mansiones y jardines.
Demeures et jardins s'étendent dans la nuit.
Estiran en la noche. Transportan en secreto. Construyen en lo pobre.
Transportent en secret.
Callejuela del Chino.
Construisent dans la pauvre ruelle du Chinois.
Los gatos son señores. Para mi gata blanca he venido a maullar.
Je suis venu miauler pour ma chatte blanche.
Qui parfume de magnolia.
Qui parfume de magnolia son sein odorant.
Y el seu pit ondurat.
El Gat. Une création sonore de Chloé Despax. Mise en onde par Damien Magnette, mixée par Christophe Rowe, avec les poèmes de Marco Reyo et les voix de Carmelo Iannuzzo, Gabriel Mille et Pep Garcia. El Gat est un projet empreinte, produit par l'atelier de création sonore radiophonique, avec le soutien de la Fédération Wallonie-Bruxelles et la Galerie La Place à Barcelone.
This is Chris France of Tom Tom Club, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
WGXC creates a live webcast for every show at High Low and Catskill, and most shows we try to get on the radio at 90.7 FM. Saturday, May 18th, the Widest Smiling Faces host and Warm Dust perform at High Low and Catskill, and on the radio at WGXC.org, 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Velo Domestique Bicycle Shop. Professional bicycle services at 437 Route 295 in Chatham. Information at www.velodomestique.com or 518-392-3010.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter W. Bone of Gilboa, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekachevic continues to report on the questionnaire responses submitted to Columbia Green Media for Board of Education candidates in the May 21st election. In Columbia County, eight individuals are competing to fill three open seats on the Ichabod Crane Board of Education. James Jim Antelak is an engineering manager at GE Power. Educator Marie Bertram is new to the area. She has two children in the first and third grades. Incumbent Brendan Colunio is running for a second term. He is a graduate of Ichabod Crane High School and Hudson Valley Community College. Berkshire Bank VP John Challenger holds a law degree and a master's in business administration. He served on the Board of Education in the past and is hoping to be elected again. Incumbent Matthew Nelson has been a member of the board since 2016 and has served as its president since 2018. Incumbent Jeffrey Owlett is the founding director of the Kinderhook Foundation. He is a lifelong resident in the district and has served on the board since 2012. He lives in Valencia. Candidate Elizabeth Phillips is employed as a grant writer for Camp Hill Village. She grew up in Kinderhook. The eldest of her three children attends kindergarten in the district. Retired teacher and administrator and incumbent board vice president Anthony Welcome rounds out the field. He spent his entire 50-year career in the Ichabod district. Welcome has held the seat on the board for 12 years. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The Socrates Police Department will pull out of the multi-agency law enforcement team known as Urgent. Instead, the department has chosen to work with the Ulster County Department of Social Service to investigate domestic violence cases. The Socrates Town Board voted May 15th to sever ties with the 12-year-old Ulster Regional Gang Enforcement Narcotics Team. Town officials noted the county will give the town $75,000 per year for 2 years to support the work of the Socrates Police Investigator exclusively focused on domestic violence cases. The town has received no reimbursement for the urgent work. Socrates Police Chief Joseph Sinagra said, and I quote, "We have a very serious domestic violence issue in Socrates that we've been trying to address for years," end quote. Socrates Investigator will work on domestic violence cases throughout Ulster County, not just in Socrates, but could be recalled to work solely on Socrates cases if needed. Socrates is not the first municipality to withdraw from the multi-agency team. The Town of Ulster Police Department withdrew from Urgent in 2010, and the Kingston Police Department followed in 2012. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. David Lombardo reports for the Times Union, a policy directing attendees of state commission meetings to pre-register may violate New York's open meeting law. Notices for the Public Service Commission's May 16th meeting in Albany included a warning that 48-hour notice would be required to attend in person. The policy was not enforced, but State Committee on Open Government Executive Director Robert J. Freeman said the proposed burden is, and I quote, "unreasonable, ungovernable, and unsupportable," end quote. Freeman said that members of the public can be required to comply with certain security requirements, but said 2 days' notice would be an unreasonable requirement. Freeman said he believes if the policy was challenged, a court would find the policy to be in violation of the open meeting law. PSC spokesman James Den said, and I quote, "We intend to help those who wanted to attend today's sessions to expedite their check-in process by asking them to pre-register with a 48-hour advance notice," end quote. Den said going forward, the PSC will clarify that pre-registering is not a requirement to attend. Read the full story in the Times Union. ABC7NY.com is reporting Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, May 16th, unveiled the final design renderings for the new main entrance to Manhattan's Penn Station. The new entrance will be located at 33rd Street and 7th Avenue, providing direct access to the Long Island Railroad main concourse and the New York City subway. The project will begin construction in June and is expected to cost $570 million. Cuomo also announced the overall Penn Station Redevelopment Master Plan, which continues to move forward and is intended to transform Penn Station into a modern transportation hub. Read the full story at abcny.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. The local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM, listener-aided and abetted radio.
This is Aristotle's Poetics from Gregory Whitehead.
Cassandra rushed forward, flapped her large ears... and gave out an almost deafening rumble. Fluid streamed down the sides of her face. Turning to Aristotle, she stretched her trunk toward his genitals and again flapped her large ears and rumbled. Then she spun around and backed into him, her head and ears high. Seconds after the pair mated, all the family soon joined in, trumpeting, roaring, and spinning around while urinating and defecating. Penelope, the matriarch of the family, led the way, followed by her sister, Betty. Their faces, too, were streaked by secretions from the temporal glands located behind their eyes. They, too, rapidly flapped. All the family soon joined in, trumpeting, roaring, and spinning around while urinating and His seminal work completed, Aristotle stood resting with his head down and his ears flopped forward, seemingly oblivious to the female's continuing commotion. Cassandra continued her loud, modulated calls, repeatedly inspecting both Aristotle's Poetics and the spot where she had been mated. Turning to Aristotle, she stretched her trunk toward his genitals and again flapped her large ears and rumbled. Then, she spun around and backed into him. After several excited minutes, the other females wandered off one by one, returning to their feeding grounds. The matriarch of the family led the way. Followed by her sister, only Cassandra remained with Aristotle and continued to run, her calls gradually becoming softer and more widely spread. Fluid streamed down the sides of her face. Upon completion of the seminar, Aristotle returned to the library and oiled his trunk.
Southwesterly, 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 southwesterly Thank you. hear the Seventh Symphony of Jean Sibelius, a remarkable work. Many of the Sibelius symphonies are massive. The Seventh Symphony is rather condensed in that it's in one movement.
Lasts about 20 minutes.